Well, good morning. We started off our workshop yesterday with the time of prayer and worship, which was incredible. And I just want to lift up the church. It was an incredible time. You know, in the very beginning, the first time that we had a prayer and worship time, we had talked about having another time and wanting to kind of gauge where we're at. Based on, you know, the things that we studied out and where we're at, you know. And yesterday was an incredible time in the sense that the prayers were a bit more focused. The prayers were in line with Scripture. And the prayers were so much about when it was adoration, it was about God. I just got to commend, there was a sister and a brother that had come up in the confession time and had been incredibly open. It reminded me of what I've read in Ezra. And that didn't happen the first time around. You know, we were kind of dancing around and talking about everybody else, you know. But there was some more getting down into the inward core of where we're at. And it reminds me of 1 Samuel 16:7, where Scripture says that the Lord, that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And you know, God has moved our hearts in a great weird way this last year. And I believe that God will do that again this year. Our theme is once again devoted. Amen. It's devoted. And our first quarter will be walking with God. Our second will be walking in the light. Walking by the Spirit is our third. And walking in faith is our fourth. Now, today what's going to happen is we're going to have our general charge. And then we're going to get a chance to look at some cool things that we're doing with the website. And then we'll go through the calendar. Amen. After that, we'll take a break. And we are going to do different stages of life and walking with God. But our first one will be marriage. And so Ken and Lana Johnson will do that class. The Singles of Campus, the Youth and Family Ministry, those will come soon after that. But what we're going to do is have singles and teens, whoever's available, help out with the kids. And they already know who they are. So the marrieds who are signed up that thought you would be able to hide. No, I'm playing. They didn't know. But it is really cool to have you guys be able to hear Ken and Lana. They did some stuff for our shepherding group that was incredible. It was incredible. One of the first quarter theme scripture is, but for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. And that's what we want to do. We want to take that same charge that Paul gave to Timothy. And Paul gave Timothy this charge in the midst of dealing with false teachers, dealing with adversity, and being a young guy, you know, having to deal with all of this adversity. He says, hey, you got everything you need. You need to continue in what you've learned. And that's what we want to do. We learned some great things when we studied out being devoted to the Word, devoted to the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. And what we want to do this year is not skip away from those things and say, okay, what new can we do? We want to do those things from the very beginning, amen, and really incorporate them. And we want those things to be more than things that we do. Those things become who we are, amen? And so what we're going to do is we're going to start with a prayer here, and then we're going to jump on into it. God, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you so much for being the incredible Father that you are. God, thank you so much for this time together with the body. God, I'm so grateful. Even going through the last year, it's just been more and more evident that without the body, without people discipling me, without people encouraging me, without people to lift up my arms, to hold me up, and to be able to do that for others, God, it's difficult in life. There's no better place to be. Father, I'm so thankful for each and every one of us that are here. God, thank you so much for your grace and mercy, saving us and allowing us to be a part of your family. Father, we lift up at this time Carrie Cannon, Andrew's aunt. Father, we pray so much for her as she's in the hospital and dealing with some difficulties after a gallbladder operation. Father, we pray so much for your healing hand to come upon her in a great way. Father, we pray for strength and comfort for the family. Father, we lift up Shirley Thomas as she goes into the Kansas Medical Center next week for a procedure, and she'll be there for 3 days. Father, I pray so much that you'd open up our hearts, our minds, our schedules, Father, to be there to encourage her and to continually be praying for her. Father, we lift up all of those that are in deep need of your physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing. Father, we pray so much for the spiritual time right now, God, that you would speak, that we would all get out of the way, that you would bind Satan.
That's right.
So that we can hear your charge, take it to heart, and glorify you, God. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Scripture says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of an end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come true and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. You know, that's a passage where Habakkuk is looking for an answer to the difficulty and the strife and the persecution and the beatdown that the Israelites are taking from the Babylonians. And he's saying, how long is this going to go on? Give me an answer. And the Lord's answer to him is, write this down on a tablet and make it plain so that the heralds can run out and proclaim it. Justice is coming. Though it may take a minute, I want you to wait for it. In the end, the unrighteous won't prevail. In the end, there'll be victory for the righteous person that lives by faithfulness. And the charge this morning as we start this 2012 year is for us to grasp hold of the revelation of God for the church. Grasp hold of it and make it plain and be able to tell others about it. Be able to incorporate it in our lives, to be able to live in hopeful, waiting expectation faithfully. And this morning, what I want to talk about is vision. I want to give you a vision for the church. I want to give you a vision to be praying about. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about a little bit of it today, and then what I'll do is I'll expand on it a little bit tomorrow because we want everybody in the church to be able to hear this, amen? Everybody to be able to grasp hold of it. And what I want you to do, pray in your heart, God, help me, reveal to me what I need to hear. I'm going to give you some things here. I'm going to give you five things that I believe are important for us to have vision about. And my hope and prayer is that as you see this in the scriptures, that you embrace this. And this is the same as continuing. We're going to talk about something that we're going to start off with something that we started with in the very beginning. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. We got to have vision. We got to have vision. Right. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Amen. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay, now we'll be able to grasp hold of all five things that we've got to have conviction about and see as the vision for the church from this passage right here. The first thing that I want us to grasp hold of, to take vision with, is that the best way to build a church is to build a healthy church. Amen. To build a healthy church. You know, in this passage here, there's an equation with people doing their work. There's an equation with maturity. There's an equation. There's an equation with people playing a part so that the church can grow and mature. And I think it's important that we understand that we have a vision, that there's nothing more important than having a healthy church. I believe if we have a healthy church, it'll grow. Yes. You know, in Scripture, you know, what did Paul say? He says, man, he says, one waters, one plants, but ultimately God makes it grow. Everybody plays a part, and if we play our parts, God will make it grow. Turn in your Bibles. We're going to look at a few passages here. I appreciate you guys bringing your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3:13. 1 Corinthians 3:13. First thing that we want to grasp hold of is the best way to build a church is to build a healthy church. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Let me back up a little bit. Starting in verse 10. By the grace of God, that by the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. The church is built on a foundation, and we should build with care, I think. I know. That's what it says in Scripture. For no one can lay any foundation other than that that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You know, usually when we hear that flames and somebody's reading that, they just go, escaping through the flames, and everybody goes, ooh, and you think of those flames coming up. You know, and it's like, man, okay, I made it, but who else made it with me? You know, the idea in this passage is that we got to be careful builders. The foundation has got to be Jesus. You know, the ideal here is that there's going to be struggle. You know, there's going to be fire. And so when we persevere, when we dive into building a healthy church, we're going to be tested. We're going to be refined. This is where we can't turn back and say, okay, we got to try something different. We got to find some newfangled thing here. And when we talk about building a healthy church, we've got to major in substance and not symptoms.
That's right.
Amen. We've got to major in substance. You know, substance is made known with fire. When difficulty comes, that's where we see what somebody's made of. That's where we see where our faith is at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
I want to call you to this. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's have conviction about this. Let's off the top. The goal of this time is we agree on this.
Amen. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 32, remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You know, in order for us to build a healthy church, there's going to be some sacrifice. There's going to be some times when we're persecuted. Persecuted on the job, persecuted at school, persecuted on campus, persecuted from family members. There'll be times when people in our Bible talks, our family groups, are dealing with these things, and we'll have to stand side by side with them.
Right.
There'll be times when we'll lose things because we chose God instead.
Right.
But as the writer writes, to the Hebrews, I believe it stands with us today. Don't throw away your confidence because it will be richly rewarded. I want you to understand the main point in all of this. If we're to build a healthy church, we're going to have to hold to our confidence in the Scriptures. To build a healthy church means that we're going to have to adhere to the Bible. We're going to have to be in discipling relationships. We're going to have to not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We're going to have to commit to being trained. We're going to have to become students. You know, the ideal in all of this is one, we can't shrink back from God's vision, because if we shrink back from God's vision, His vision just gets smaller.
Right.
We've got to hold fast to God's Word, and not only hold fast to it, we've got to live God's Word. Amen? The most pathetic person, here's what Helen Keller said, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision. Let's not be a person that doesn't have God's vision. Amen? Number two. Focus on breathing new faith and new passion into the church. Focus on breathing new faith and new passion into the church. Here's something else that Helen Keller says. She said, as selfishness and complaint pervert the mind, so love with its joy clears and sharpens the vision. As selfishness and complaint pervert the mind, so love with its joy clears and sharpens the vision. We got to focus on bringing in new faith and new passion. We got to breathe that into the congregation. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. So we're going to build a healthy church. We're going to commit to that.
Yeah.
We're going to commit to a different way of thinking.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 1. In verse 4, Paul says, I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about you, Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Guys, we talk about breathing a new faith and a new passion into the church. We cannot focus on what we think we don't have. We have got to focus on who we're with. We got to focus on who God is. It says in the Scripture here that God will keep us firm. God has given us these spiritual gifts. It says that God is faithful. God is faithful. We've got to keep telling ourselves, we've got to read that, we've got to have that in our minds, that God is faithful. As you're dealing with different difficulties, God is faithful. I don't know exactly what the answer is, but God is faithful. And many of us have been through different difficulties, and at the end of the day, when we look back, man, God was faithful. I didn't know what was going on, but everything worked out in an intricate way so that I could stay a disciple. Maybe somebody else became a disciple due to that.
Yep.
Amen? Turn your Bibles to talking about God, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7.
All right.
Deuteronomy chapter 7.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 7. Starting in verse 7. You know, this is a passage that reminds me of, you know, so often we think, man, we have strength in numbers.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Man, if we don't have this, man, we ain't got no chance. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is, but it was because the Lord loved you and gave, Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your ancestors, that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who keep, those who love Him and keep His commandments. But to those who hate Him, He will repay their face by destruction. Now, I just had to say that part there because there is another part of being loved by God. There is another part too. There, we've got to play our part.
Right.
Amen. We can't sidestep that. We've got to be faithful. But I want you to understand, here's who God is. I believe that this is the same God today. And if there's anybody out there that is feeling like, man, we need more numbers. We need all of these different things in order to be happy and joyful in the Lord and for Him to be with us. I want you to look at the examples in the Bible. Look at the scriptures right here. This is where God works. You know, we've got a few singles in this ministry here. This is where God works. You know, we got high school kids on campus, and there's not a whole bunch of campus high school disciples. This is where God works. But let me just say this. If you're not faithful and you don't hold on, you'll be so far away from the vision that you won't even see it. Be reminded. Be reminded of who God is. We're going to talk about that more this year. Who God is and what He does. Can I give you one more? Come on, turn in your Bibles to Psalms. Chapter 9. It's a cool passage, man. This is a really cool passage. I'm going to talk about who God is. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing to hear those pages turning. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
That's right.
Guys, this is where we have to set our affections. This is where we have to set our minds. This is where we have to camp. This is where we have to live. This is who God is. He has never forsaken those who seek Him.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Remember the first passage that we read in Habakkuk? It was, hey, you need to hold on a little bit. Believe me, just like any other time. God's promises never fail. He will come through. He always has.
Yeah.
You know, I think we forget about who God is and what He's capable of doing when we stop being in the Scriptures.
Yeah,
it's important that we're in the Scriptures. It's important that we change our mindset and we start thinking about who God is and what He does and allow that to give us vision. Amen. And vision in the darkest day. Number three. Unity.
Amen.
Unity. We've got to have a healthy church. We've got to commit to building a healthy church. That's got to become a focal point, and we've all got to take personal responsibility. We've got to remember who God is and keep talking about that. Talk about that more to people than we talked about the negative things that are going on in the church. Amen?
Yeah.
And thirdly, we need to seek unity. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. You guys doing all right?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians. This is the vision that I want you to have. This is vision. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Uh-oh. Chapter 1, starting in verse 10. I'm working with this tablet. I gave it another shot here. Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas still, another, I follow Christ. Now, all very significant people. But what happens is, in verse 13, it says, is Christ divided? You know, when we're not all on the same page when it comes to Jesus and the things of God, there's a division. Even if you gently do that, it's like saying, no, I'm not going to go along with the program here. You know, when you think about unity, there's something we've got to grow here. We've got to get on the same page about some things. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, I want you to understand the magnitude of this unity. In Galatians chapter 5, and we all knew this, and we've used this in the sin study, in verse 19, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. In verse 20, it says discord. In verse 20, it says dissension. In verse 20, it says factions. And in verse 21, it says that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right. You know, and that's talking about an eternal inheritance. But I believe that it also applies to our inheritance here. There's a separation when there's sin. We're not able to embrace and feel and be able to experience all that God wants us to experience as His family. And when our family is not able to experience and allow that light to shine, it makes it a whole lot harder to see people become disciples, because there is no difference in us in the regular world. And we are called to set ourselves apart. We are called to unity. John 17, 21, in Jesus' prayer, He says, He prays, I pray that they'll be one like you and I are one. You know, I want you to consider that prayer in John. Let's go there. John 17. It's one of my favorite prayers, if not my favorite prayer. John 17. You guys doing all right?
Yeah.
John 17, 20 and 21. Jesus says in the midst of His prayer, He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Let's stop right there. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but when there's discord, when there's dissension, when there's a lack of unity, Christ is missing. It's a whole lot harder to say Christ is in you. And a lot of times we fake it and act like it is, but Christ isn't. You know, Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're to make every effort to keep the unity. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4:11, it says for us to make every effort to live in peace. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Scripture says, add to your faith. Make every effort to add to your faith. You know, unity comes from a conglomeration of God's Word swirling around in us, and His Spirit moving through us and calling us to action. You know, in Psalms 133 and verse 1, how good and pleasant, how refreshing it is when God's people live together in unity. You know how it is when you come in here and you don't want to be here. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but I want you to remember this. This will ring true this year. When you come in here and you don't want to be here, when you don't want to go to your family group, when you don't want to hang out with somebody, there's some discord there. There's some discord there. Now, be reminded that if there's discord there, that's the same thing that in Galatians, that won't inherit the kingdom of God. Remember that in John 17, that Scripture says, I want people to become Christians because of these guys' message, to have Jesus, to have me in them, like you and me, God, are tight. So if there's discord and you don't want to be together, you don't want to meet, you don't want to come to church, that's just like saying, I want to keep Christ out of me.
Mm-hmm. Come on,
That's pretty serious. Carl Jung says this: your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams. Who looks inside awakes. Church, there needs to be an awakening on the topic of unity, because it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. Amen? Awesome. Number four. Church, aspire to leadership. Let me say that again. Aspire to leadership. I don't know how many stories I've heard of people of days of old that led the youth and family ministry, people of days of old that led the singles, people that led the campus, people that led a family group or led in the marriage, there's all of these people. There's all of these people that are leadership people. Understand that if we don't have leaders, the church won't grow. If people won't lead, the church won't grow. If you're leading a group and you're not making leaders, it'll be harder to grow. Understand what I'm saying here? Listen, you can have a group of 20 people meeting at your home. But I want you to imagine, what if that group broke off and it was 10 and 10? They'd have more opportunity to bring people in their neighborhoods. Amen? That's multiplication right there. We've got to aspire to leadership. We talk about the church growing. We have got to have the mindset that we will lead. Amen? You know who you are? Yep. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Let's go back there. Ephesians 4. Christ gave some people that were talented to be apostles, to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he did this to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. Now, listen here. Here's what leaders do. They equip people for works of service. You know what? Based on this scripture, I see and I think about, okay, what do our family groups look like? I think our family groups go from meeting together and just being some buddies getting together to being outward focused and inviting our neighbors to hang out in our groups. And amen, we got to do that too. But when we talk about vision, when we talk about building up, when we talk about leaders, we've got to equip and we've got to have the mindset that we want to grow. You've got to aspire to be a leader. Now, let's jump in right here. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, when we talk about building up, when we talk about equipping people to be leaders, that is a process. That is a process. And just like the Lord told Habakkuk to wait, it's going to take some time, and it may not seem like it's coming, but it's going to come. When we talk about building up leaders, we've got to be patient and be willing to go and the long haul. Now, here's one way you can tell where your heart's at. If you started training somebody to lead and it didn't work out like you wanted it to, and then you quit on them, that might mean that you were trying to build you up and not them up. I'm a work in progress. I don't know about you. You know, there was a kid that I discipled in the youth and family ministry. I mean, this guy, I remember when he was just tagging along with his big brother and sister. He wasn't even supposed to be at the events. And he came anyway. This dude would come to my house, sit on my couch. You know, we'd do all these things. I ended up studying the Bible with him. He became a Christian. I mean, this dude went through all kinds of drama and deceit and all these different things. I mean, this dude, I drove him to camp one time, and then this dude confessed his major sin on our way home from camp. And I'm like, man, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have brought you here. It's like 18 hours out of my life. You could have told me that from the beginning. Doug Beatty, brother, you never give up on anybody. You never give up on anybody. You might cut down the time you get with them, but you're going to have something for them. and he better feel believed in. I believe in you, right? Look at you.
Oh.
I got a text from this kid about 6 months ago. Now, I've got texts ever since we've been here in Wichita. And he's been saying this stuff. And, you know, he's one of those guys that you go, you know, he does great and then he doesn't do great. And he does, you know, this is, I mean, you know, 10 years of that. So he says, hey, man, I really want to thank you for all that you taught me. I learned a lot about how to build a discipling relationship. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, man, I'm busy. Yeah, whatever. Hey, man, I really want to thank you for, you know, I went to the campus conference. He's there. Hey, man, can I sit down and talk to you? And he confesses some sin. I'm like, good night, man. Can you help me out in this situation? I'm like, man, I'm not really here for that. He's working. I talk to his evangelist and all these different things. And a few months later, I hear this guy is an intern. I hear this guy's an intern. And then I get a text about 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, man, I really want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the time that you poured into me. I want to thank you. And I'm going, okay, and then, you know, some more texts come in, and he says, you know, I studied the Bible. There was a family that was in the church that was really discouraged. They had a kid and a blended family, and this kid had been, you know, he hadn't come to church, nothing. I mean, he had no desire to be a disciple since I came there in 97, 96. This kid ended up becoming a disciple. The kid that I'm talking about, that wayward kid, studied the Bible with him. All the way through. Amen. This kid became a disciple. Then he turned around and about a month later, he sent me another text and he said, hey, I'm not going to say his name, but the kid that I studied with the Bible with that became a Christian, he's going to do his first word study with somebody. Amen. So here's a kid that over time, amen, God moved in his heart. And the things that I was trying to get, I was just like, this is so simple. He was a teen. Can you study the Bible with somebody? Can you invite somebody to church at your school? Can you hang around the right crowd for a minute? Now this kid is an evangelistic machine on campus, loves to study the Bible with people, and is still in the ministry. You know, God has that vision for you. How many people still aspire to be in the full-time ministry? How many teens aspire to study the Bible with somebody all the way through? How many teens aspire to go to a campus and be a giver and not a taker? Not being persuaded to go reach out. Not knowing how to study the Bible with people. How many of those campus kids come and flourish in campus and then go on to the singles and flourish in the singles? How many of those singles go on from being a single and being an example of someone that's faithful and loves God and they give back to the youth and family ministry? How many campus go back to the youth and family ministry and decide, make a decision to disciple a teen? And then teens building relationships with the preteens. You know, this is where our leaders can come from. I am not against campus ministry and building leaders there, but I believe you me, we've got a family church. Imagine us building up the kids that we have and them going to Wichita State, them going to Newman. You know, they come out and it's not, okay, we got to, I mean, you know, you always got to deal with somebody, but hey, man, we got to build leaders. Amen. Amen? We got to have a conviction about that. You know, if you aspire to be a leader, I got to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 2, it says, I want you to consider this. If you're in leadership or you're aspiring to leadership, that one, you got to be reliable and able to teach others. And I think some of us, we get caught up and we say, okay, I can teach others. But I think in this passage, there's also a piece that says someone that's a person that you can look at and learn from. Someone you can look at and learn from. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, Scripture says that deacons, they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. In order to lead, you've got to be spiritual. Amen? Now, if you're not there and you want to aspire to leadership, I think that you got to get a mindset that, hey, I'm going to be spiritual. If you're not, you may need to step down out of leadership. Because when we talk about a healthy church, when we talk about the vision for the church here, it all hinges on God's word. Amen? If we don't embrace God's word, if we don't embrace spiritual leadership, God will streamline our leadership. Lastly, number five, invest in our ministries. You know, if you're a parent with kids, that's your ministry. Invest in it. You know, if you're going to these practices and these different things, and I'm guilty of this, I go to these practices and these different types of things, and I don't nary open my mouth and tell people I'm a preacher. Oh, you used to play basketball, yeah. Nah, I used to. I'm a preacher. You know, if you're in the student ministry, invest in your ministry. The ministry will only be what you make it. I think it's important that we have a biblical conviction about being able to study the Bible with people, doing things that disciples do. If you're a campus or young professional, we got a lot of those kind of floating around here. We got to identify them. Invest in your ministry. Singles, invest in your ministry. When there's an event, the singles ministry won't grow if you guys don't come. Singles ministry won't grow if you don't invite singles out. You got to invest in your ministry this year. I encourage you to invest in your ministry. You know, all those cool kids you see at high school, invite them out. Be an example for them. All those kids on campus, all those kids at your job, your workplace, invite them out. Start thinking, you know, hey, if I want the ministry to be cooler, because it's already cool, then I got to invite some people out. And don't think, man, they got to look a certain way or be this or that and the other thing, because you don't know what a person's got on the inside. Because God doesn't look at what man looks at. God looks at the heart. You know, when you think about the vision for this year, please be reminded that we've got to start with building a healthy church. We've got to follow that with having a new, fresh, refined passion and faith that's all about what God does. Number three. And not last on the list, there has got to be unity. Amen. Yeah. Number four. There's some people in this room. Yeah. The Spirit is nudging right now. You need to rise up and lead. Amen. You need to rise up and be spiritual. If you're not there, you start moving towards being spiritual and God will lift you up in due time. Amen. Amen. And lastly, invest in your ministries. Grow where you're at. Throughout the centuries, there were men who took first steps down new roads, armed with nothing but their own vision. You know, this isn't a new road, but this is a narrow road. And we're not armed with nothing. We're armed with Jesus. At the same time, in order to accomplish that devoted, continued, and glorified God, it's going to have to be about God's vision. Let's embrace all of that and allow that to be our vision for 2012. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Mark, you're going to... How much time we got? We good on time? Well, I guess it don't matter.
Amen. Kind of tall, Brandon. Well, good morning. I'm here to talk about, some things we're doing with the church website. But before we get into some of that, I think if we talk about the church website, first and foremost, Rob Greer has done an amazing job with our current website. He took it on himself to put together what we currently have, and he's maintained it, developed it, done all the hard work on it. And so... First and foremost, I just want him to know that as a church, we appreciate his hard work and his dedication to that and his service in that. And we've kind of gotten to a point where, you know, in today's culture, we are very much an internet-based culture. I looked up some statistics this morning just to kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about. This, as of 2009, there was 1.73 billion internet users. There's about 90 trillion emails sent across the internet. There's, as of December of 2009, there was 234 million websites. I'm sure you know what probably the most popular one is. Facebook serves over 260 billion page views every month, which is roughly 6 million per minute. There's roughly 400 million users on Facebook and growing. So hopefully that's not your friend page. At the current rate of photos being uploaded to Facebook, that's 300 billion photos every year. And there were in November of 2009, there was 12.2 billion YouTube videos viewed just in the U.S. alone. So that just kind of gives you, I mean, our current society is very much internet-based. Everything we do is on the internet. You know, if there's a new restaurant that opens up and you want to go check it out, most people, the first thing to do is, oh, let's go look at their website, let's look at their menu, let's see where they're located. And that is the culture we live in. And so what we've what the leadership asked, they asked us to put together a committee to talk about our current website, you know, what are some things we can do. And before I get into that, I want to read something in Colossians chapter 3. Starting verse 23, it says, "In all the work you're doing, work the best you can. Work as if you're doing it for the Lord, not for people. Remember that you'll receive your reward from the Lord, which he promised to his people. You are serving the Lord Christ." And so I think, first and foremost, when we talk about anything we're doing with the church, Jesus has got to be the center of what we're doing. And so when we talk about our website, you know, what we wanted, kind of the two overlying goals is, okay, we want to represent Christ, and we want to represent the church. And so the leadership kind of gave us some guidelines, and I want to kind of share those with you so you kind of know where we're going here. First was ease of updating. I think one of the challenges that Rob had is he has a full-time job, and so keeping everything up to date as well as doing his own thing and can become a very tedious and very challenging thing. And so we needed something where multiple people could update the website, keep it current, and keep things, because again, we're wanting to represent our church in that way. Obviously, we want to keep the great visual appeal that we have and keep it contemporary. Easily be able to upload media, things like our sermons, and be able to keep those things uploaded quickly and keep that current. We wanted to have a protected page for members only. And I want to make this clear, we're not separating anybody, we're not excluding anybody, but this is more for the privacy of our members. And with that, part of that is also protecting our children. And I've talked with Rich and Delana a lot. You know, they work with the kids ministry, and we really have a conviction that we've talked about that, you know, we don't want to put our kids' pictures out on the website just for obvious reasons. And so and they're going to talk more with the parents. They're putting together a privacy form and for the parents and we're going to have a members only side to our website where we can have our own resources, things that are for us, but also we can protect the privacy and the confidentiality of our members, as well as still have a website that the public can use, and it's something that they can see. And so that was one of the other things we wanted to have. We wanted to continue to allow for online donations, which on our current website we do have, and we want to keep that going, as well as be able to support online registration for events. So in the future, when we do have church events, we can set up a registration online where people can just go online and register for things and make that a little bit more streamlined and easier to use. So those are some of the guidelines we worked with. And so what we've done is the committee that the leadership put together is we've kind of redesigned our church website to kind of fit into those guidelines. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the back here, and I'll talk back there, and I'll kind of show you what we're working on or what we kind of have right now. Hello. All right, you can hear me. Okay, so this is as of right now, this is in development. So if you go to the WichitaChurchOfChrist.org, you will not see this. It's still our current website, but this is what we've been working on. And so if you do want to check this out, I can give you the actual web address, and you can kind of see what we're doing. Obviously, if you do that, we don't want to give this out to the general public because we're still developing this. But if you want to kind of keep up to what we're doing, I can give that to you, and you can check that out. So this is obviously the homepage. One thing we want to, and we'll need, we'll tap some shoulders, and if you have some of this, we definitely want to get some pictures of our church on here as well. And so if you have pictures from events, or if we have pictures of, you know, during service or whatever, we'd like some of those so we can feature some of that on here as well. We have some of the basic things that you'll see on most church websites, you know, who we are. We'll have a ministry staff page, which we need to get some pictures of Brandon and Wendy, which I know Brandon's fired up about. Yep. But we'll have this on here, you know, just kind of showing the staff and then where we're located. So all those basic things are there. We'll have, you know, each ministry represented on here with, you know, just a description and that kind of for each ministry. We'll have an events page here where this will be all the upcoming events. So people can kind of see what's going on in the church and what we're doing and can quickly see what's going on as well. We will have a calendar they can view. And this is going to be, and this is kind of where we have this a separation where this will be the main kind of public viewing side of the calendar. And so this will just have large events, church services, kind of the basic things that people need to know about, but not every single thing the church is doing. Just because there's some things that are just for our members that people don't need to know about or they're just not concerned with. But they can click on something and see where it's at, and there's information on where things are located and that sort of thing. And then obviously a contact us page where we have information. We also have a request information where if people want or have other further questions, they can launch this form and fill out some information in here and send it, and this will go to the church. This will go to Vicky, so she'll get all these. But and that way, if people have further questions about our church, they can do that. I know what you guys are probably more interested in is this member resources. Right now, it's password protected, and I'm not going to tell you what that is just yet. So you're just going to have to wait. But so this is kind of where all of our stuff is going to be. The way we're going to handle this, the password is we're going to kind of put it on like a 90-day rotation. So every 90 days, just for security reasons, we'll change it and we'll send out an email to the members. And so it'll be important that we have your most current email address so you can get that. But that way, obviously, we need to keep that secure. So, but here we'll keep the bulletin here. We'll have just kind of general announcements. If we get an announcement but it can't make the bulletin in time, we can post that down here. So this will always have the most current announcements, even if it doesn't make the bulletin. This is where we'll have, you know, and we'll post articles and like the first principle studies will be here and follow up studies and all of those kind of things. Quiet time series. We'll probably put the Family of God stuff on here. From last year, and so all those things that we have, and if we have other speakers that come in and they have PowerPoints or whatever, we'll put all that stuff here that you guys can access at a later time. The media gallery, this is where we'll find sermons and everything, and this is kind of nice because this is a full media player, and so you can either listen to the sermons from here. We also have some YouTube videos for like that Mark's put up there, as well as some ICOC hot news and things like that. And so you can either, and like the sermons, you can either download those, you can listen to them from here. There's also a podcast, so for those of you who like to subscribe to podcasts, you can subscribe to that, and anytime something gets added to this media player, it'll get updated on your podcast for your device, so those of you that enjoy that. But this is where you'll be able to find all the sermons and all of that kind of stuff, and you'll be able to access that information from here. We'll have a photo gallery, which we don't really have anything in here yet, but we can create multiple albums, and those will be listed in here. And so we can have pictures of all the different events that we do, like the 20th anniversary service, the harvest parties, and all those things. We can have those pictures, and we can choose whether we want those to be downloaded or not, so that way if there's some things that we don't want to, people to have, you know, that, again, with kids and stuff, we need to be smart there. And this will be the main calendar page. So this is basically the everything that goes on the church will be in here. And so, like, for instance, the main difference you see already is that, for instance, Wednesdays we have the leaders' meetings on here as well as the midweek services. And so everything that the church is doing will be on this calendar. And we'll put teen devos and any other ministry that has any kind of event going on. This is the this is where you'll find all of that information. And then we have two different forms we've created. One is a bulletin request, so that way if you want to, if you need to put in an announcement for the bulletin, instead of having to try to get a hold of Vicky or get a hold of somebody else or send emails, you can just go to the website and you can just put in what you're wanting and if it's a prayer request or an announcement and if this is a new or an updated announcement, and then that'll immediately get sent off and that can make it into the bulletin. So that's an easier way to handle our announcements. And the other thing we have is a membership information update. And so this is where you can, you know, as people come in or your email address changes, or if you wanted to change your weekly pledge or whatever, this is a very quick and easy way that you'll be able to do that, where you can come in here, put in all the information that you need to update, including your, you know, ministry stuff, your weekly pledge, all that's in here. And then you can fill this out, submit that, and then that can very quickly get updated. And again, that'll obviously be important if your email address does change for whatever reason, because we are going to be sending out the updated password. That's somewhere where you can go in and just send that off, let it and get the most current email address so that stays current. So obviously, I know when it comes to web pages, it's easier for you to get an idea if you can sit down and touch it yourself. And so, like I said, if you're interested in just kind of seeing as we continue to develop this, you know, you come talk with me and I can give you the web address and you can look at the page as it's being developed. There has been some concern is that this is a flash-based, if you know what that means, this is a flash-based website. But if you do have an iPhone or any kind of Apple device, there is a mobile side to this, so you can still view the web page on mobile phones and things like that. So if you have any questions, if you have any input, I did create a little 3 or 4 question survey that I would like your just feedback on kind of what you've seen. If you have questions, if you have comments, I would definitely like, you know, the committee would definitely like to look over those and get your feedback, because obviously, again, this is you as a church, you know, this is representing you, and so we want to make sure that we are doing the best we can to do that. And so in a nutshell, this is kind of what we're working on. Our goal at this point is by the end of the month to have this go live, and so that's kind of our timeline. Obviously, as soon as that does happen, we'll definitely let you know and keep you posted on all of that. So I believe that is all that I have. Yes, so...
Is that cool or what? And rest assured, Rob hasn't went anywhere. Rob is still on that committee, so we still got him too.
They're giving out one per family.
Okay, we're giving out the calendars. We're gonna run through this real quick here. We're gonna give out one per family. One per family. Amen. Yeah, you gotta share. We're talking about devoted. Being together.
Let me do this page. I'll do this first.
Amen. Go ahead.
Well, once you get it, you'll see on one page is what Brandall outlined at the beginning, that this year we are continuing devoted. And the first quarter that starts this weekend is walking with God. And the second quarter is walking in the light. Third, walking by the Spirit. And fourth, walking in faith. And again, the word walking and action, that we're all getting involved.
Amen.
So. And with that, Bruce made these incredible invitations for this series, Walking with God. And so in there is just some, Brendel, if you want to.
She stole my thunder. I wanted to brag about these. I'll do that tomorrow. And those are in your folder as well.
And there's just four in there, but we have many. So the encouraging thing is this isn't for an event. This is for church service.
Amen.
And to be inviting people out that this is a series and to get them out to people. So let's use them up. Also in there is there's a pink sheet that has the just for this quarter, the meeting schedules. For midweek, what the schedule is. If you're a family group or ministry leader, what our monthly meetings will be. And then the shepherding group, when that meeting is. And then also what we'll be beginning is worship ministry devotional. The worship ministry will get together once a month as well. Mm-hmm. And so those dates are on here. We'll go over the calendar. That's a yellow sheet. But what I wanted before we do that is there's a sheet called Planning Ahead in 2012.
Amen.
And it's kind of a financial breakdown of all the events that we could pretty much put together in here. There's a lot of things that, you know, things all of a sudden, they always seem to be like 3 months in a row, you know, like boom, boom, boom. So the biggest one on here is the worship summit. I mean, the World Discipleship Summit, that really wanting to encourage everyone to go, to make it a family trip, however that works. But on here is just information where you're at in your stage of life and the website to get more specific. But again, wanting you to be able to look at how much things cost and preparing and planning ahead. And if you need help, there's great people in the church, as we know, that are really good at helping you do that financial planning.
Oh, my son. Oh. Matthews.
So, all right. So, undo the whole.
Yep. Okay. For the month of January, it's already in there. I just wanted to let you know about this. This is on your yellow form here. Our Hope Project, in connection with Hope, dealing with Martin Luther King, MLK. We're going to collect canned foods for the Kansas Food Bank. And we're going to start doing that.
But we have a specific. Sorry.
I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, see, this is the man right here. Now I got to restart all over again.
Sorry.
We're going to. No, I'm just playing. It's all good. I'm right with you. There's three things that the Kansas Food Bank wants specifically. They want canned soup. They want cereal, boxed and bagged. And they want peanut butter. And the charge for us this year is I'd like for us as families, if we can all give as a family peanut butter, at least a peanut butter. And you can get one from your neighbors. I'm going to try to get five or six of them. We'd like to get at least 100 peanut butters to give to these guys, along with soups, box cereal, and bag cereal. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Now, we're gonna go ahead and you got this. We'll talk a little bit about this some more tomorrow. We're going to break this down here because we've got a really cool class for the marrieds coming from an extra special couple here in the church that have been married 38 years as of the 4th.
Woo!
And so we're looking forward to gleaning some wisdom from them. Amen.
Okay. We will talk more about that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about we'll be talking to you more about the local marriage retreat. We've got some really cool things in the works, but I don't want to throw it out there just yet, but this is going to be groundbreaking for the church here. So be praying for that. God, please bring about that groundbreaking marriage retreat. That, in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
All right?
So we need to pick up. Oh, no, we don't pick up kids. We go for snack.
Yeah, we're going
to
go for snack now. I thought we were going to have a final song.
No.
We're not?
No.
Okay.
Are you going to sing? I'm out.
Can I? No. Let's sing together.
No.
Amen. All right. God, thank you. Thank you so much for this time to be together with our family. There's just no place like your family and being able to hang out like we do. Father, we pray that you bless our time even more so together. We love you. Thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys.